You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. On today's show, Peter Edmiston from The Athletic, also Sports 56 every single morning. He stops by to talk with us about Ja Morant. We've talked about Ja Morant before, but today we're going to talk about specific Ja Morant game. We're going to break down his game, what is good, what is bad, and what he needs to work on. You're listening to Locked On Grizzlies podcast. I'm Mark King, your host, as always. You can catch all my stuff over at grizzlybearblues.com as well, where I cover the Grizzlies day in and day out. Just go to grizzlybearblues.com. A lot of great stuff over there besides mine, so make sure you hop over there and check it out as well. Make sure you get this show on the new Himalaya podcast app. It's super easy, super intuitive, and super fun. You can have curated playlists of podcasts. So go to your app store, download the new Himalaya podcast app, and subscribe to Locked On Grizzlies. You can also get this show on Apple iTunes, Google, Spotify, literally wherever you get your podcasts. It is available. If you have a minute, please go and rate and review the show in iTunes. It really helps our rankings in iTunes. It will be a huge, huge help to me as well. Our show is a part of the Locked On Network. Make sure you go and check out all the other teams, not just NBA, that they have available. Baseball season is up and running. Football season is coming up soon. So they have all teams for all professional sports, even some college teams. So go check that out and make sure you subscribe to your favorite Locked On teams. Before I get to Peter and I's conversation about all things Ja Morant, again, this is like 17 minutes of just talking about Ja Morant and what he does good, what he needs to work on. But before we do that, today's show is brought to you in part by Hotels.com. Thanks to Hotels.com for being a huge sponsor of the Locked On shows. Don't hate your friend's trip. Book your own with Hotels.com and get rewarded basically everywhere. Hotels.com. Be there, do that, get rewarded. Today's show is also brought to you by Grip 6 Belts. Grip 6 is ultra-lightweight belts with no holes, no flap, and it's an absolute great Father's Day gift. Go to grip6.com for your special offer code LOCK. That's grip6.com/locked. grip6.com/LOCKE. Hope you guys enjoy the conversation with Peter. We'll be back tomorrow with another show talking about all things cap-related for the Grizzlies. Welcome back to the show, a Thursday edition of the show for you guys. Peter Edmiston joining the show today to talk all things Ja Morant. If you haven't already caught all of Peter's stuff over at The Athletic, make sure you go subscribe to The Athletic. I think it's like $9 a month. I don't know. It's not enough for me to even notice come out of my bank account every single month. So go check out Peter's stuff. You can also catch him on the radio every single morning on Sports 56. Peter, what's going on, my man?
What's up, man? We got it's always good to be back on the homestead, Locked On Grizzlies. I know you're doing a fantastic job, and I miss the old days of doing it, but I'm always thrilled to be back. And thanks for the plug. I will tell you, we got a Memorial Day sale going on too at the Athletic. It's $2.99 a month now through. So you can if you're a subscriber. Which I am, I pay for my own subscription. No, I didn't get it free, but you can order yourself a gift subscription and get yourself like a year or two or whatever added on at the promo rate. So a little pro tip for you there. If you want to save a little extra money, go ahead and do that.
That's as easy as it gets, man.
It's beautiful right there. So it's like what, $30 for the year or something like that. So I mean, like you knock that out, you don't even think about it, and bing, bang, boom.
And The Athletic is good as any platform, not just for Memphis, but I mean, I go there for just general NBA coverage. It's fantastic. I love the fact that they do such a great job. So I'm glad to have you on. Glad to be back. But let's dive right in. Let's talk about Ja Morant. Obviously, I've had tons of people on the past few weeks. Everybody said it. Ja Morant's the pick, but let's figure out why Ja Morant is the undoubtedly, to me, in my eyes, a clear cut number two, I think, for you as well. But what makes him the number two, specifically about his game that you like the most? What about his game is what sets him apart from RJ Barrett?
Well, I think, again, when you're talking about this draft, and you're obviously not going to get Zion,
right,
then you've got to be very thrilled to be number two. because, you know, to me, you know, the choice of two would clearly come down to Ja or RJ. But I think, in my mind, Ja is a superior prospect in lots of different ways. And I think there's a pretty clear gap between he and RJ Barrett. The more I kind of watch and look and start to break both guys down, I think that's becoming pretty clear. I mean, Ja, number one, you know, his ability to be extremely creative and explosive with the basketball is something that, you know, here in Memphis, we haven't seen since Jason Williams, basically. I mean, you know, he's, you know, Mike Conley is an exceptional point guard, but he's not flashy like that. He doesn't have the kind of vision to make, and not only vision, but just the, you know, the cojones to make the kind of passes that Ja can make. Now, with that comes mistakes, and you're going to see a few of those, but the guy's got incredible vision and the ability to find guys, to look for guys, and to make plays that most guys just don't see. That right there is a huge benefit in today's NBA. On top of that, he's got nice height, 6'3". Probably needs to bulk up a little bit, as most rookies do, and he certainly is going to need to do that, but seems to have good length, although there's some, I don't know that his length has officially been put out there, but most people seem to think it's 6'6", 6'7", in terms of wingspan, which is plenty good for the position. He shoots the ball better than he's given credit for. Right. And it's one of the things I'm going to highlight in my piece. He's actually quite good if you have teased out all of his NBA threes, and he's actually pretty good from behind the NBA three-point line, better, in fact, than he is just in general from three. And he compares pretty favorably to some of the other guys that you've seen, like Damian Lillard, who came from a small school and made it to the NBA. His numbers compare very favorably to Lillard's at the same time in college. So, you know, I'm not saying he's going to be Lillard in terms of shooting, but, you know, there's a lot to like there on top of everything else. So as an offensive weapon, I think he's spectacular. Defensively, that's not great. But that's doesn't make him unusual to need a lot of work on the defensive side of the ball. But offensively, he's outstanding.
Is that something that he can improve on? I mean, defensively, do you think that he has the tools to be able to improve, to be at least an average defender in this league?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, a lot of what I saw, Mark, honestly, was just not, it's kind of lazy defending.
Right.
You know, he wasn't a lot of like kind of trying to reach around, poke away steals, and sometimes it would work. Most time it wouldn't. Not always getting in a stance or even anything close to a stance. You know, kind of turning his head, ball watching, leaving guys, that kind of stuff. Like, you know, he's got the physical tools with his length, and he's a smart player. So I don't have any doubt that he can pick up on that stuff. But, you know, it's a little bit like Trae Young last year when you say, look, you got to assume going in that this guy's not going to be a great defensive player, and you're going to have to kind of work with that. And you can, you know, but that was the knock on Steph Curry too. And you know, after a few years, he ended up being a very capable defender. He's never going to be, you know, a defensive player of the year candidate, but he's a very solid defender. And I don't think there's any reason why Morant, with a few years and working with guys like Jaren, who's, you know, so locked in, he's going to cover up for a lot of those mistakes defensively. You know, I think he'll be okay, but not at the beginning. I think it's going to be pretty rough his rookie year, no matter what.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like a lot of that, obviously, you know, better guys around you can cover up for those mistakes, but also better coaching can also take that a long way. Like you mentioned, a lot of that stuff is just lazy or just not paying attention or gambling too much, things like that that can really put you in a bad spot. You mentioned Damian Lillard, but what do you think I guess what is the best comp you have seen out there for Ja Morant?
I don't think there is a. I really don't think there's a good one. I think that he's a unique player,
right?
Because he has elements. You know, some people will say Russell Westbrook. He's not as explosive as Russell Westbrook.
Russell Westbrook's on a different level.
Particularly off. Well, I mean, like, if he gets a chance, like when you see Morant, you've seen some of the dunks that he's throwing down.
Yeah.
If he gets a little space and he can jump off both feet, he is as explosive as anybody, including Russell Westbrook. But the difference from him is that if he doesn't get 2 feet down, if he's kind of jumping off 1 foot or if he's a little bit off balance, he really does not. There's a major difference in his ability to finish. Whereas Westbrook can just pretty much stop on a dime, do whatever he wants. He's not Westbrook, but the good news is he's a better shooter than Westbrook is. He has vision that Westbrook does not have. I mean, right now he comes into the league. Our draft expert over the, or one of the guests, the draft experts we have over the Athletic, Sam Vecenie, you know, said that John Morant comes into the league next year as a top 10 passer right out of the gate. And
wow.
I think that, you know, based on what I've seen, I think that could well be. He's got amazing vision that a guy like Westbrook doesn't have. So, you know, it's more along the lines of Trae Young, who has outstanding vision and the ability to make passes with one hand and flip them around and all that stuff. But he's bigger than Trae Young and longer,
right.
Much longer. So now he doesn't shoot as quickly. He doesn't have that snap release that Trae Young has. So, you know, trying to find comps and trying to really evaluate is tricky because there isn't a guy that jumps right out. He's got little elements of everybody's game, but you know, we haven't seen a guy with his height and, you know, theoretical length that can be as much of a visionary passer and also the explosive finisher that he could be. It's a pretty unusual combination.
Yeah, that's always good to hear whenever you ask for a comp and it's hard to find one. And usually that's either really good or really bad. And I think in this case, it's really good. And you're obviously writing a series over at The Athletic about John Morant and breaking down his game. But in your watching of the footage and all that, in today's NBA, in so much at the point guard spot, the ability to take someone off the dribble or the ability to make your own play or shoot off the dribble is so important. What have you seen in terms of that type of playmaking from John Morant? Is that something that he excels at, something he needs to work on? What have you seen there?
Well, I think there's a few components to that, Mark. First of all, he's got a great – his handle is outstanding. I mean, he's just one of the tightest handles I've seen, you know, particularly for a guy that's a little bit taller. I mean, he can do everything. He can stop on a dime. He can decelerate, accelerate. Behind the back, through the legs, no problem. It makes it look really, really easy. So that's a huge benefit for him when it comes to, you know, beating guys off the dribble. He's got great control in traffic, no problem. Can get through those really tight spaces pretty easily. Sure. and still maintain his dribble. That's very helpful. He really likes to go left. He's not nearly as big on going right. Even though he's right-handed, he prefers to go to his left pretty heavily. And when teams have loaded up, he has not always been able to turn the corner, you know, and against a bigger team, like when you saw Florida State in the NCAA tournament, he struggled a little bit to finish against that kind of size, which is, you know, to be expected. He had to try to kind of slide around a little bit. And, you know, that's one of the reasons why he took so many longer threes this year is because, you know, I think he felt more comfortable with a little extra space to kind of back off a little. So that's something that he's gonna have to kind of get more comfortable in dealing with bigger, stronger, faster athletes. He hasn't played too many of those in the Ohio Valley. I think he'll make that adjustment, but there will be definitely an adjustment period. He is a good finisher at the rim, but he's gonna get hit and banged around more, and I think that he will struggle as a result. We've certainly seen a number of point guards in the league have that same kind of acclimation period where it can be a little tricky. I think he's going to do that, but he has all the capability. The thing I would say, Mark, is that it's incumbent upon him now to develop a mid-range game. I think that would be hugely beneficial for him. We just haven't seen very much of it. He took, I think, according to my numbers, I got to go back and look, but out of the 500 or so shots that he took last year, 220 were within 2 feet of the basket. Another 157 or so were threes, which leaves about 120 in between. And of those, most of them were probably between 2 and 6 feet, so just outside that dunk and layup zone.
Right.
When you talk about actual mid-rangers, it's like, you know, probably two or three dozen. Just not a lot. It was not a shot he took a bunch of. It was not that little floater game that Mike Conley has elevated is non-existent with Ja. The pull-up jump shot, it happens sometimes, but not a lot, and he's not real comfortable with it. And as a shooter, like, I don't know how to properly say this, but, like, he's not comfortable shooting with what another buddy of mine that covers the draft, Cole Zwicker, over at the Steppy, and he calls shooting with forward momentum. Mm-hmm. Where, like, when you see, you know, Trae Young and Steph Curry, you know, they can be driving and then immediately just kind of shoot as they're dribbling forward. No right. problem. Ja cannot do that. That's not part of his game right now. You know, when he makes his three, it needs to be kind of from a standstill, you know, stationary position. He's good there, or maybe on a step back, no problem, but moving forward, he doesn't seem to shoot it as well. So that's something again that, you know, is if he can develop that part of his game, he will be massively improved.
Yeah, those guys, it's almost like they, you know, they're just, you know, they walk into a lot of those threes, you know, or mm-hmm. shoot, you know, shots when they're just coming up the court, and they can just literally just go from dribbling straight into a shot, which is a huge benefit, especially if defenders are sagging off you. So, but it's also really, really difficult to do. Like, it's something that you could work on for a long time and just sometimes really never replicate. It's something it's not easy, and it's a skill set that is hugely beneficial especially for point guards. Last question, I'll get you out of here. There's been so much hype around Ja Morant. I guess people are just generally excited about getting Ja Morant, as they should be, because he is sensational. He's fun to watch. You think it's just because we try to attribute to why people are so excited about it, but it's almost like, I guess, just we haven't, like you said before, we haven't seen the type of player like this with this much athleticism and this much just excitement and court vision to be able to do the type of things he does. Is that sound right to you? Just the general excitement of people?
Oh yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, look, that's what it comes down to. Again, people didn't think of Jaren Jackson as a guy that could provide excitement and whatever. And then weren't sure about what his game was going to look like. And that's why there was a lot of initial skepticism about Jaren's selection and what he was going to provide. And as soon as they started to see, like, oh my God, this guy can do all, then the excitement level was there. You don't have to worry about that with Ja. I mean, you could, the highlights come, you know, blasting right through your screen. I mean, it's like, right. Oh man, look at what this dude can do. He's all of it. And as you've seen, if you watched any of the number of videos that I've posted.
Oh, I'm scrolling your Twitter feed right now. I'm just watching the videos. Like, it's insane.
I'm posting a lot because I'll pull a game. I've got all the raw video from all these games, and so I'll just pull and start, you know, watching and just kind of clipping stuff as I watch. And like, his teammates miss so many of these shots. He should have had like 12 or 13 assists or more a game. I don't know, because guys just drop stuff. But you see these things, like what this guy can do, like what, and you think about like the pairing that he can have with Jaren Jackson, the ability to throw so many lobs and the ability to work in, you know, pick and rolls, pick and pops, and different things that he could set up with Jaren, the flashiness of the passing. Again, you just haven't seen that. It's fun. It makes it fun to go to any and every game because you know when he's just going to pull. Like, I posted the one clip where, you know, just randomly, like, you know, he steals the ball, he dribbles through some traffic, and then he decides to just go all the way, you know, fully behind his back and all the way around his waist to throw an underhand cross court pass. There's no reason for that. He didn't have to do that. That's just fun. He just wanted to do it. I mean, that's the kind of stuff. Like, you know, there's no basketball reason for that, but it makes it fun. And when you're buying your tickets or when you're trying to sell tickets, that's a big thing. Like, man, this dude is fun. Go watch a fun guy who happens to also be extremely good at basketball, you hope. That's a huge thing. And that's why, I mean, they are, you know, in all likelihood going to pick Ja Morant, barring some crazy turn of events. And it's why that people are going to be extremely pumped and excited and should be. For, you know, regardless of the whatever weaknesses and stuff that we've talked about in the scouting report, the truth is, as a rookie, everybody's got weaknesses and issues and all that stuff. You know, you highlight them knowing that going in, but man, the upside, if this dude hits, if things work out, whoo, man, is it going to be fun to go to FedEx for?
Oh, yeah. That's like I said on this show the past 2 weeks. If it goes right, and you can sit there and look at Jaren and Ja Morant for 9 years. I mean, with restricted free agents, I mean, they could be here for, it could be great. Yeah. It'd be fun. And that's what you said. Absolutely. No expectations next year. just go to the forum and just watch just fun basketball, because you know they're probably not going to be as winning as many games as we'd like them to, because they're still young and they're still going to make mistakes, like you said. But just go watch fun basketball, and that's really what the whole thing is all about.
Look at the whole thing. Look at last year, you know, Mark went with a lot of people after the trade deadline, and Mark was traded, and you know, Garrett Temple and Jermichael Green, all these guys were traded, and it was a fairly ragtag bunch, but a lot of, you know, Bruno Caboclo and DeLon Wright and Jonas Valanciunas, and people were enjoying the games. People were having fun. There was a lot of like, man, it's because you lower the expectations and you make it clear as a franchise, this is where the new front office, and that's a whole different discussion, where they're going to have to, you know, outline exactly what it is they're planning on doing and how they're going to do it. But as long as the expectations are reasonable and people know, look, these guys need some time to grow, then I think fans enjoy watching a new group and a new way of playing and more up-tempo and more razzle-dazzle and not the plodding style that grit and grind had become, even if by necessity. But that's just like, okay, look, we're time for something new.
Oh yeah, change is always fun, especially when you have players like that on the court. And like you mentioned, the front office is a whole other discussion. I'll have you back on. We'll do that discussion here in a few weeks when we're right before the draft. But Peter, again, I appreciate it. Again, if you haven't already subscribed to The Athletic, go do so. Peter Edmondson, you can read all this stuff to him and Amari. You guys are some of my favorite guests. Always super informative. I really appreciate you coming on, man.
Man, you know, listen, as you well know, Mark, anytime for you. Thank you for carrying the torch of Locked On Grizzlies as well as you have, and doing your thing, and continued success with the show, and of course with all of your video work as well. In which, if folks don't know, Mark is an exceptionally talented videographer and editor. So wonderful stuff over there. Thank you again, Mark, and it's always a pleasure, bud.
Absolutely, man. We'll talk to you soon. Today's show is brought to you by Untuckit. Dads come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their shirts, like tall, short, slim, and relaxed. Ever wonder why your father's button-ups look so long and baggy at the end of the day? It can be hard for guys to pull off a casual, untucked look that isn't sloppy. That's where Untuckit comes in. Untuckit is the solution that fits just right. Their shirts are specifically designed to look great, untucked, and feel comfortable at work or on the weekend. No tucking or tailor required. Go to untuckit.com, promo code MBA to get 20% off. Go to untuckit.com and use promo code MBA to get 20% off. Thanks again to Peter Edmondson for joining me again. If you haven't already found his stuff on The Athletic, go do that now. Subscribe to The Athletic. It's super easy. It's cheap enough to where you don't notice it come out of your bank account every single month, and it's worth it. Those guys, Amari and Peter, do a great job over there. Love having those guys on this show. They're always super informative for us. So again, make sure you go and do that. Also, if you haven't already done so, make sure you subscribe to this podcast. Download the new Himalaya podcast app, and you can get the show's curated playlist, and it's super easy to use. So go to your app store, download the Himalaya podcast app, and subscribe to Locked On Grizzlies. Also, you can find it in Google, Spotify, Apple iTunes, wherever you get your podcast, it's there. If you have a moment, please go rate and review the podcast in Apple iTunes. It also really helps our rankings, and I would appreciate that if you can. You can also get in your car, tell your smart device to play Locked On Grizzlies, and it will play the latest episode, which is also pretty cool. If after all that, you still don't know where to go, just go to LockedOnGrizzlies.com.